why is it that we are so slow to respond to His love, to His calling, and when we get to the door, we open it, and what do we have? We have the fragrance of Christ. Yes, He was there, but He is no longer there. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day, everyone. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill completes his study of Song of Solomon with the conclusion to the message, Manifest Christianity. Now, let's listen in.
Christ in us, hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Look at verse 8. We're hard-pressed, Paul says, on every side, not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Whew! You're going to have bad times. But the good news is that you can let the life of Christ be manifested through you daily, no matter what you're going through, because look at verse 10. It says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now watch. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested where? In our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Let me ask you a question. Doesn't the one who died for you and me have the right to manifest His life through us? Absolutely. And that's what you really want, and that's what God wants at the same time. And the thing is that it's not a question of us being saved from hell. Thank God that we are. But it is a question of being saved to manifest the life of Christ to this world that's falling apart. I cannot tell you how important the knock is. I've learned that timing is everything. The Bible says, as we learned in Proverbs, a wise man discerneth both time and judgment. When to do a thing, how to do a thing. Timing is everything. Listen, let me ask you a question. If the Creator of the universe, who created everything, absolutely everything, do you think He would knock on your heart a second too early or a second too late? No, meaning the knock is His voice, meaning the knock is His leading. Then why is it that finite man like you and I have the audacity to say, I'm thinking about it, Lord? Listen, He's God. He's perfect. His ways are flawless. And you know what? We sit there and God knocks us right now. Do this right now. Move right now. Say this right now. Give right now. Serve right now. And what is it about our lousy flesh that says, no, I don't think so. Not right now. Lord, you know how I feel. You know that, Lord, I'm a bashful person. He's going, oh, hello. No, are you with me tonight? Who said I'd rather be in Isaiah? No. Do you understand? I mean, God is perfect in His timing. Absolutely perfect. When He tells you to do something, He means it. I've told you this story, I know, 100 times, and if I'm here until I'm 70, you'll hear it another 200 times at least. But I've regretted it all of my life. I was at the American Airlines terminal at DFW. And I had to pick up, I don't even know who I was picking up. And the whole place, it was like this. Here's the terminal, and these are the chairs. It was packed from front to back with people. There was one chair left. It was right by the door where people come out of the airplane. You know, they come down the little tramway or whatever you call it, the aisle. And there was a chair right here in front of everyone. And I was waiting to pick up someone up, minding my own business, having a wonderful day, reading the newspaper. You know, and I mean, it's kind of weird to sit there and you're looking at everyone like this and they're looking at you and you kind of just put the paper back up. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to stand up and share Jesus Christ. I said, do you know I'm in an airport? He says, oh no, I didn't know that, Bill. Now, as God is my witness, and I'm ashamed to tell you, I put that newspaper down. I looked those people straight in the eye. I stuck my chest out, and then I grabbed a hold of the bottom of that chair with all of my might, and I said, I'm not getting up. I didn't do it. I have regretted that all of my life. Well, Bill, you might have been arrested. Well, I might have been. But all I was going to do is say, hey, everyone, Jesus loves you. And then put my newspaper right back up. What are they going to do? Shoot me? Stone me? I didn't do that. But there was that divine moment, that divine knock. It could have been that one person whose mother just died, or father just died, or lost their husband. They were en route to do that. You understand what I'm saying? God knew what was needed. Well, Bill, you know, that might have been against the law. Listen, what does the Bible say in Acts about you obey God, not man? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I don't want to disobey the laws of the land, but I don't know if there was a law of the land. If I think you can stand up in the airport and say, hey, whoa. Did you see the Holy Spirit catch me? That said, Jesus loves you. I guarantee if I'd have stood up and said, Buddha loves you, nobody would have said, oh, shut up and sit down. Now, if I'd have said, Jesus loves you, they'd have probably stoned me. I don't know, but it was for someone. There are divine moments that come into your life, and you know what happened? The fragrance, but then the presence is gone. And you think you take that fragrance for being in God's perfect will, and actually you're not, because you did not obey the Lord. I disobeyed God. I disobeyed Him. It is time for this church to wake up. Wake up. We don't want just the fragrance of Christ. We want the presence of Christ here in this place. We must have Him. I don't want to be deluded into thinking, okay, well, as long as we have a little smell once in a while, Lord, oh, this is wonderful. No, I want to be obedient when He calls me. I want to be obedient to everything He tells me to do. And He's never late again. He's never late. He's always right on time. Perfect precision. Fragrance or presence. Isn't it amazing that you and I have that choice? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse 13 with me on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Look what Jesus says. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Isn't that amazing? You, and that's emphatic in the Greek, so we could say it like this. You are the only salt. No one else, the church. You are the only ones. You are, plural, meaning the body of Christ. I'm looking right now at the salt of the earth. Amen? That's what you are. God said it. God cannot lie. You are the salt of this earth. What does salt do? Salt changes everything it lays its hand to. It changes it. Listen, you put too much salt on something, it'll kill you, won't it? You just can't take it. Salt preserves. You remember how they would salt and it preserved meat, right? They would salt it and that way it would preserve it from decay. Well, that's what you do. You permeate society and you slow down and halt the decay. Could you imagine what would happen if the church left this planet? Think what's going to happen when the Antichrist comes. Oh, the hell that's going to come on this planet. And salt permeates whatever, it has an effect on whatever it touches. Jesus looked out over the multitudes. And He looked at His disciples, and let's just move them out of the way because they're in heaven now. He's looking at us. We are now His disciples, present tense, in the 21st century. Amen? Amen? Nothing has changed. You and I are still the salt of the earth. Remember what I said that salt does? Salt prevents decay. And you know what we're called to do? What God has placed us here for? He says, Jesus says to us tonight, you are the people I have placed in this time frame that you're in right now to stop this earth, these people that are dying from rotting. You're the salt. You're to prevent the decay that's in this life. And God has sent us to do what? Listen, He sent us to a city that is dying, that is rotting. It doesn't matter, it could be any city. Without Christ, you are dying and you're rotting. Amen? Any city that doesn't have Jesus, there is darkness and not light. And He is wanting to manifest Himself through through you when he knocks, the knocking in his voice, and he doesn't want you to run up late and say, oh, I have that fragrance. Oh, Lord, you were here. You're so good, Lord. And I touched that handle of the door opening, but gosh, you're gone, but it's okay. I'm dripping with Jesus. It's so wonderful. And he says, yes, you have my presence. Yes, you have my fragrance. But see, when you have my presence, in that immediate moment of my commanding you to do something, then you have the power of heaven to back you up in your business, in your marriage, with your children. When you obey him, that knock, that intimacy, that is what Jesus wants with you. That's what Jesus wants with me. He is knocking on our door saying, let me in. I want intimacy with you. No different than Solomon and the Shulamite. Wanting intimacy. We need to be intimate with the Lord. That's why so many of us are lonely, tired, worn out, depressed, hurting. We refuse. We know he loves us. We hear him knocking to come in to take care of our hurt. And finally, when we finally say, okay, I'll let you do something now, Lord, he says, you open the door. Well, there's the fragrance, all right, but he's gone. You must operate in the divine now in your life. I cannot tell you, I know tonight, I don't know how to explain what I'm talking about, but I tell you, church, I know this is from heaven. And I know this is a word for us tonight. And we should not settle for less. And obviously, if the Lord is telling this to us tonight, then that means there is a great need in this body that God's going to call us to do. And we must understand the difference between fragrance and presence. Amen? Very, very important. Jesus says, you are the salt. You don't salt something that's alive. You salt something that's dead. And that's why we're called to this city that's lost. Jesus has sent us and he wants us to manifest his life. That means we have to come in contact with people. Now, it says, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Can I ask you a question? Do you know what an important question Jesus is asking right now in verse 13? Here's what he's saying. He says the health of this planet depends on you being salt. The health of this planet, the health of this city, the health of the person who's lost walking beside you depends on you being salt. In other words, manifested Christianity. Do you see how important you are? What is this mindset? You know, have you ever noticed, I mean, there are 66 books of the Bible. Have you noticed that God uses somebody in every one of those books? He uses people. He uses his church. We are the institution on this earth that God has chosen to work through his body. Jesus just said, the health of the world depends on the body of Christ. Listen, Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He said, if that Christianity on which the health of the world depends, does in any age, region, exist only in name, then how will it be seasoned? It's impossible. You are tonight the salt. Are you making anyone thirsty for Jesus, okay? Listen, salt is a good thing. Salt is not a bad thing. You preserve. What a preserving influence the body of Christ is. Now, living Christianity is the only salt on the earth. If you lose your salt, then who's going to replace it? Look what it says. If the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? In Mark's gospel, it says in Mark 9:50, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Now listen to me. If you're not salting the world, then the world is salting you. Amen? Oh, this is a happy message tonight, isn't it? No, it's a true word, folks. Listen. He says, look at it. How shall it be seasoned? How shall salt gain back its flavor? How can you do that? Well, you know how you do it? You open the door when Jesus knocks. The moment, that divine moment, and they're not that many, come on. But you know when the Lord moves on your heart to do something. You're not. We know when God is speaking to our hearts, not our mind, our heart. You know that. You know that voice of the Lord. No, I don't. Well, it says a sheep know his voice. You know the voice of the Lord. That's how you are saved. You heard him call you. You opened, you responded, that divine moment. Now, How's it going to gain the salt back? Well, you're going to have to open the door when he knocks. If not, you're going to settle for fragrance and miss this presence, that divine moment. You're going to have to, and we have to go back and make sure that Jesus is our first love. That we don't have a second love, third love, fourth love, and the fifth love is Jesus. We have to make sure He is number one in our life. It says it is good for nothing. Look at it on verse 13 again. It says it is then, talking about salt, good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. That's scary to me. In other words, if we're not salting anything, if we're not doing manifested Christianity, Jesus just said, you know what? God can't use it, man can't use it, and it's failed for what it was created to do. That frightens me. You know, Jesus told the church in Revelation 3:1, the church at Sardis, He said this. He said, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Isn't that amazing that outwardly you can look healthy, but the fact of the matter, you're just a Christian in name only? And that's what was happening with the church of Sardis. In other words, they had activities, they had programs, they had a prayer night, but they didn't have Jesus. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one, everyone say each one. That means each one of us, right? As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. You have been given, and I have been given, an ability by the Holy Spirit of God. And what I'm about to say, I say with deep tenderness, not accusing anyone in this chapel tonight, not anyone on the air. But if you're not using the gifting, I'm talking about the gifting that God has placed in your life, then you're wasting your life. Well, I'm making millions. Well, okay, make your millions. There's nothing wrong. Make it. I pray all of us do, and then everybody tithes, as I say all the time. But if you don't use what God has given you, that gifting, you may have all the fragrance of the Lord. You may, the Lord is sweet. Oh, the aroma, yeah. But you'll never understand the presence of God. Let me tell you something. When the presence of God comes upon a man, comes upon a woman, there is a boldness in the Spirit. You're fearless to do and accomplish what God has called you to do. You have no fear of man, no fear of anything. You just want to do what God wants you to do. Listen, when you're in the presence of the Lord, you know, what is better than that? Amen? I mean the manifest presence. You know that God is all over you or all over in this place, whatever. Not His fragrance, but Him manifested to us. Why? Because we are obedient. We come in here and we really do praise Him. We come in here, whether we have problems up here or whether you have problems out there, we lay our problems down and say, for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to worship Jesus Christ with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, and all of my might. And then I'm going to love everybody else the same. That we lay it down. And I'll tell you what, when you do that, then God manifests His presence in His house and His people. And you start tasting that, and you'll say, I don't want the fragrance anymore. And you'll be sitting there worshiping, and then the Lord will give you a word for someone behind you or someone across in the other the aisle from you. And then after the service, you go over and say, can I share something with you? And you know what? That word came from the presence of Christ. You obeyed, and then what happened? The fragrance just spilled over into that person's life because you gave them a word from heaven for their need, and you didn't even know what was going on. Amen? That's what is so needed. That's what the book of Acts is all about when you study it out. Spiritual gifts, they're not optional. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each one has received a gift. Let me read it again. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, your gift is not given to you on a take it or leave it basis. You're going to be accountable. I'm going to be accountable. And I think when we refuse to use the gift, that we know we have at least one. Actually, you have many more than that, but you have at least one specific gift that God has given you. When we refuse to use it, it's like we cut off the presence of God. Oh, I know where He lives in our heart, but I'm talking about, do you not know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Of course, He doesn't leave you. He just says, okay. You don't want me to operate through your life? You don't want me to lead you? You don't want me to guide you? I love you. I'll never leave you. but you just don't sense my presence. Oh, you know, a little fragrance every now and then. But we're so slow to respond to what He's called us to do that what happens is that we just settle for fragrance and miss His presence. He's already gone. We're like the Shulamite running to the door, looking down. Where is He? Where is He gone? Oh, that's no way to live. We have the power, the anointing, the presence of God. He's here now. He is here tonight. Some of you are just passively waiting for God to use you. May I remove that false thinking from your heart forever? Because see, God is waiting on you. You don't have to wait on God. He's already given to you what you need. Let me close with this verse tonight. It says in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, we're the joints, what every joint supplies, listen now, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Let me read that again. By which every part does its share. And look what that does. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now listen to me. I want to give you an illustration just for a moment. Not to be tacky, not to be condemning, not to make anyone hurt or feel bad or feel like they're failing or whatever. That's not my purpose. But I want you to look at me, look at my body, look at me and say, in your mind, visualize me as being the body of Christ. The whole church, here I am. In other words, it's easy to say, okay, this is the body and Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And here's my arm. But my arm will not do anything. Oh, it's connected to the body. It lives, it sucks the very life out of the body. It wants to be connected to this body, but it won't do a thing. It's lifeless. It stays by my side all the time. It's connected to the body. Oh, yeah. I don't want to be disconnected. I want it. You bet. I want all that nourishment you can give me. I want all the messages you can give me. I want to be able to sit in comfortable chairs, but I'm never, ever, 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 ever going to do one thing for the body. I'm just going to hang on. I'm just going to hang on. I'm going to drain out your nourishment. I'm going to be a parasite. I'm going to use you, and I'm never going to give you one thing. That's frightening, isn't it? Everything this dead arm needs is supplied to it. Everything. There's not one thing this arm is lacking except the will to get up and open the door when Jesus Christ knocks. Church, I pray that I live to see the day at Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, where every part, every man, every woman in this church is doing their part for the body of Christ. Do you understand me? Not the 10% or the 15%. You say, Bill, why? That's rude. No, I love you. Listen, this is not the season to hang lifeless. This is not the season. It must stop. You're missing your calling. You're all tied up in knots with hurts and blemishes and what could have been, should have been, might have been. And God's saying, would you stop it? Would you answer the door? I have something for you in this divine moment. Fragrance or His presence? I want His presence. I want to finish my race. Maybe I have ran the whole race just on fragrance alone and didn't know it. Maybe I got to the door too late every time because of my slow response. I don't know. But I'm saying that as I looked at that last week, this was a wake-up call for me. And I know that God is knocking on the door of this church and He is asking a question for the continuation of our body into the future. He says, I love you and I am knocking on your door. And that knock is my voice. Do you want my fragrance? Or do you want my presence as we bow our heads tonight?
Well, next time on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill begins an in-depth study of the book of Revelation. And we encourage you to tune in each day and take this journey through this amazing book along with Pastor Bill. We want to thank you so much for listening today and enjoy the rest of your day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.